Hey everyone, I hope you're doing okay. And just before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to remind you that we are being brought to you this week with the support of counsellingonline.ie. They are a fantastic Irish company that was set up in 2011 to bring therapy and counselling online. It's so convenient. I mean, I've mentioned before on here, I loved it when I worked with these guys myself. When I signed up during lockdown, I Googled it, found them, found a therapist, worked with her, and I just found it phenomenal to be able to log in on the laptop, sit on the couch in my pajamas, and as soon as I came off, I could lie down if I needed to. It's very convenient. And also, I love that you can get online, see the images of your therapist, see what they specialize in, organize a call. So if you are in that space right now, and I think you'll know yourself, if you're feeling like that you need that extra bit of support, a little bit of professional guidance, do log on to counsellingonline.ie. On today's episode of Family Flowers Only, I speak to Aidan Brennan. Aidan is from Roscommon, husband to Tracy and dad to Evan. Aidan's wife, Tracy, was diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2017 following a smear test. She went on to advocate for access to the drug Pembro and campaigned alongside Vicky Phelan and Áine Morgan. The drug was made available for the women of Ireland, something that Tracy and the other ladies valiantly fought for. Unfortunately, the drug did not work for Tracy, and she sadly lost her life to cancer in 2019. Aidan shared with me so openly about his grief, the reality of being left to raise a young child alone, and how overwhelming the loneliness can get at times. I hope you enjoy this episode. So, hi, Aidan, how are you?
Good.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
I must tell people on the podcast first that there's a high chance that my voice could change now because I said I'm with my homies.
Yeah.
My posh Galway accent might go. So you're from my home county of Roscommon. I'm delighted someone. Yeah. What part are you from?
I'm from Grange Formal House, County Roscommon. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are from Roscommon and you're obviously in here today to share your story of loss and grief, which is, you know, I'm delighted to have you in. And what I always do is I always like to go right back, and I would love to hear all about the lovely Tracy.
Yes.
So you know her a long time now.
I know her a long time, yeah.
How long?
Yeah. I'd say going back since I was in school.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you neighbours like?
We were 8 miles from each other, yeah. But okay. I was very great with Tracy's dad. I worked with him as a stone mad for tractors and that.
Okay.
He was a contractor and I used to be working with him.
Okay, yeah, right.
And I'd be always in and out of the house. And
so you'd first have seen
Tracy, yeah.
Knocking around,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been giving her the eye.
Yeah, she always used to say she'd marry me someday.
Really?
Yeah, with that joke, yeah.
Wow.
So I suppose in 2006 we got together and...
You started dating.
We started dating.
What's the nightclub again in Roscommon called?
Rockford's. Yeah.
Yes, I was in it.
Yeah. Manny's a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We, 2006 we started going out. She was full of life.
Right.
Yeah. Bubbly, you just loved being her company, like,
really,
you know? Yeah.
Full of banter,
yeah. She'd light up a room no matter where she'd go in.
And what was her kind of interest? What was she into?
Shopping, yeah, like, yeah, and doing up the house,
yeah,
changing it every.
Lovely.
Yeah, every day you come home, there'll be something new or something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you got together in 2006, 2007, around that time. And was she working at that time?
She was working, yeah. She was working at Clover Hill Nursing Home and her dream was to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2000, yeah, so we were together, we moved in together and we're a few years and, you know, Tracy always wanted to be a nurse, you know. So we went, she decided then to go to England, you know. And we sat down, like everything, we talked about it, you know. And I says, do it now, have no regrets. I says, all this will be here, we'll make it work.
Yeah, lovely.
And we did.
Yeah.
We did. For 3 years, we were over and back. Well, she was over more times than she was, yeah.
And where did she go? What part of England?
She was in London.
Oh, wow,
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah,
Yeah. And so she applied for a course and got accepted
over there. Yeah, got accepted over there, yeah, and done the 3 years. But she had the flu.
Yeah, flu.
And I remember coming home. I remember that time dropping her to the airport the first time. Well, I was in bits coming home. Yeah, yeah. I was heartbroken. Yeah, but as I said, we made it work. That went on 2012. Then we got engaged.
Wow.
Yeah, we went to Lanzarote, got engaged. She hadn't a clue.
So, but you obviously always knew, even though she says that she knew she'd marry you, yeah. You obviously knew from the start as well, did you?
I did, yeah. Yeah, yeah, do you know?
Yeah.
We just got on unbelievably. We're best friends, do you know?
So you decided anyway, this is it. Yeah. I'm going to pop the question.
Pop the question, yeah, yeah. And that's a whole other story, but yeah.
We want that story.
So myself and I was telling my best friend Damien, or our best friend Damien, we decided, I told him, this is it now, I'm going doing it. And I says, I'll have to go and get a ring. So we hit off anyway, Tracy was on nights at the time.
Yeah.
And she was in bed. And I said, I'm going doing a job with Damien. So we hit it off down to Castlebar.
Little did she know the job.
The job, yeah. So we went down to Castlebar and we went to Castlebar and we got the ring. And lo and behold, we came out and the car wouldn't start. Yeah. And we, this was on a Saturday evening, I think, blowing Castlebar. And the car wouldn't start. My sister is from Westport, rang her to come over. We're in Castlebar. Couldn't let on what it was at. Car, I don't know what excuse we made up. But we got her car and we came home. And we had to go back down that night for his car. But anyway, that's and she was in bed. She was oblivious to it all. So the ring stayed in the attic then for a while until we were going on holidays. And we had the bag packed, ready to go to Lanzarote. Again, Damien was bringing us to the airport. I just have to get the ring. It's up in the attic, you know. She never had a clue. And he was there. Will you get into the car? Get into the car. And we go. We'll be late. So anyway, I said, oh, yeah, I forgot something. So I went in back in anyway and got up into that and got the ring. Put it into a sock and into the suitcase in the boot. Yeah.
If that's me now, I'd be so nosy. I'd be like, what's she doing?
Yeah, great. Yeah,
it's good job she's going and you're hanging out.
So that was that, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. We got engaged then and that was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
12.
Yeah, yeah. Then you got married then 2014.
14, yeah. Yeah. We had a lovely wedding in the Hudson Bay.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lovely day and that, you know. And sure, as she says, and I says, it was the best day of our life, you know, but of our life. And we were so happy. Like, we just, I think we were so compatible. We got on so well, like, you know.
Mm.
And then we were blessed with Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Came in September 15.
So not long after you got married, you got pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, you were thrilled, obviously, with that news.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely over the moon. Couldn't wait to tell
everyone I know.
You know.
That moment, so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose the families were thrilled for you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Thrilled. Yeah. So, yeah, in September 22nd, Evan came. And he just was amazing.
Yeah.
And still is.
Yeah,
you know.
And so what was she like as a mom?
Oh, she was excellent. An unbelievable mom. Like, she gave him such a great start. She, as every morning, she put him up on our island in the kitchen and explained to him what the day was going to be.
Wow.
Yeah. And it still stands to him this day, like, do you know?
Wow.
She put him up every morning without fail. She'd tell him what's going to happen today, where you're going, what's going to be going on. Do you know, she was just unbelievable. And
he loved his mummy.
Oh, absolutely.
Idolized her. So I suppose, Aidan, like when you explain that, like so many people that come and speak to me with the benefit of hindsight, you had the perfect life.
Oh,
everything was perfect. You had your little boy.
We had it all.
You had it all.
House, little boy, care, everything. Anyone could dream of. Everything was flying it.
And did you feel, were you conscious of that at the time? Like, did you, I suppose, the guy you are, you're quite laid back, calm. Like, were you very much like, I have a great life here?
Well, I have, like, but I had, and before that, I have had losses. We lost Dad in 2013, Mam in 2003. Yeah, Dad, or Mam had a cancer, breast cancer, and we were young, like, I was 22 at the time.
Wow.
I had two younger brothers, do you know?
And how was that for you at that time? Like, did you find, you know, we're here to talk about grief and loss, I suppose. Yeah. That obviously had a huge impact on you as well.
That had, yeah. Like, that was huge. Mam was huge, like, you know, as any mother, like, you know, it was a huge loss, you know. But we were young, like, but Dad had a massive heart attack then in 2013. And, like, and Tracy that night tried to keep him alive, do you know.
She done,
being a nurse, like, Jesus.
Wow.
Do you know?
So you obviously had massive trauma there.
Trauma,
there with your dad when all that happened.
In the middle of it all, like, you know.
So I suppose you had maybe an appreciation for life then, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. With Mam, like, and to see the way Mam, all she wanted to do, no more than Tracy, was to stay alive.
Yeah.
Do you know? Fight the fight was in them, you know.
But when we who experience that kind of loss, we, I suppose, it gives you a new outlook when you lose someone and you realise how short life is.
Yeah.
So for you guys then, you know, you got married, didn't hang around, you know, all of that, because you know how important it
is. Important it is, yeah.
So then, obviously, there came a day where things changed for you.
Yeah.
Could you tell me about that day?
Yeah, so.
Or maybe the lead up to it.
So in the lead up to it, Tracy got a smear test and the results came back, and like that, I never thought in a million years the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Never. So, and the results came back, and we had to go to Castlebar for an appointment, you know. And like that, I took the day off work, drove down, still oblivious to it all.
And was she as well?
Well, I'd
say worried.
A bit worried, like, but still, I still didn't think the outcome was.
Yeah.
But down to Castlebar anyway, and I sat in the car. She says, "You sit in the car." And the next thing she was in there, whatever, I was sitting in the car, and the next thing she rang, she says, will you come in? And I says, yeah, no problem. So I went in anyway, and like this, came into a room now. And anyone that's in this situation, and the rooms, and they're still, you're brought into the room.
Yeah.
And I seen her, and she said, sit down. And I sat down beside her, and she held my hand, and he says, the consultant of the doctor's cancer. His cancer. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was just the shock. And even now, that word, like, and I how could this be, like, so young, like.
And happening for you again.
Yeah.
With your mom. And
Yeah, you know. And, I came out. I came out that day. We came out, the two of us, and we sat outside the hospital and we cried and cried and cried and cried. Oh, I think that's the initial shock. So Tracy, being Tracy, brushed herself off and planned, what's the plan? So we actually went back in when we got ourselves sorted. We went back in to the hospital. My sister, I came over at this stage as well, over to the hospital, and we have started talking to the consultant again, and then it was we had to go for scans then and all the crack, you know. So that, we went home that day and we were referred to Galway then.
So when you went home that day then, obviously you had to break the news to
family.
How was that?
That was terrible, terrible. Tracy was always, get everyone together and just tell them at once, you know. She was always like that, you know. We were coming home in the car. I just want everyone together. I don't want to be explaining it.
Yeah.
You know, so we got everyone together in, as we'd Granny's house. And she broke, and Granny just held me. Yeah, she says, she just, I can still feel her hand shaking, do you know, and anyone in that situation will know. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It's so scary, because then you think, like I was saying to you, you have this perfect life and
you're
sitting your little boy in the counter.
This is it.
The biggest worry is, what have we put in the lunch? You know, and things like that.
And in a split second,
yeah.
it's
now you're faced with, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no. I suppose from there you had a plan, as you say.
We had a plan, then we went to Galway, and we went to Galway, met with consultants and like that again in these rooms, and being told and all this techno or all these terminologies and stuff that I can't, I'm a country boy, mm-hmm. and trying to understand this. And I was there with them. I said, you're going to have to slow down now.
Yeah.
And tell me. And I met him, and I came across it there only lately. I met him draw it out for me on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Wash, just because I'm that type of, I need to know how it works.
Yeah.
And, you know. So he drew it out for me. He didn't, and he explained the tumours and what was going on, and you know.
So we didn't actually say her type of cancer.
She had cervical cancer, yeah. Mm. And now they had the type and all, but it was.
Did they grade it?
They did.
Yeah, and what
it
grade
was
it?
2B with a 4 centimetre tumour, you know.
Right, okay.
So
what was their plan then?
Their plan was then radium and chemo.
Okay, yeah.
So she went, that was in July. We got, and this, it all happened fairly relatively quick. So in July then we had 8 weeks. Yeah, from July on then. Now I remember in Castlebar, he says, the consultant there was, he says, now this will be done in Christmas and the outcome will be good, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he was very positive, you know.
Yeah,
you
it's know, treatable.
Which, yes, treatable. And yeah, continuing on then, we went to Galway then because we started treatment then. She had 8 weeks of radium and chemo. She had radium every day and she had chemo one day a week,
mm-hmm.
then. So it was up and down to Galway 5 days a week for 8 weeks. And in one, she had one long day then, we'll say, for chemo.
Sorry, what age was Evan at this stage then?
Evan was only 2.
Yeah, I mean...
2. Yeah.
Happiest times of your life.
Like, yeah, yeah, this is it, yeah.
Pulled into a hospital.
Hospital, like. Yeah, yeah. So, but like that, she had unbelievable fight, like, you know, she...
Just get on with it.
She just got on with it. So, like that, went up, done the 8 weeks, and now we're great friends, neighbours, we've a great community. Everyone, family, took it in turns, bringing her up and down. Now, I have to say, on that, I... tried to stay with Evan as much as I could.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
You know, try at that time, you know, with family, friends, neighbours, everyone took their turn to bring her up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
was she well with the treatment? Because I know that radiation can make you super tired.
Yeah, she was tired, like, but she was a functional.
Yeah,
you know,
Just get on with it.
Just get on with it, yeah. Yeah, we went through all that,
mm-hmm.
and she went through that treatment fairly good, you know. And then, like that, I think it was September that finished then. And we went through Christmas, had a great Christmas. And then in January, she started becoming symptomatic again, cough and that sort of thing, an irritable cough and that. And then in April of that year, which would be 18, she had a relapse.
So they were obviously quite happy with the treatment had gone well. Did they remove tumours or just shrunk them down?
No, they couldn't. This is why I got the consultant to draw it. I says, draw it out for me. I says, why can't we get rid of this? And he says, no, it's gone up the wall of her.
Okay, yeah. Cervix.
Would
they have put a hysterectomy on the table? Would they say, let's take everything out?
It was never on the table.
Okay.
It was never on the table. Because this is what I was saying. Why can't... But I think the fact that it was in the lymph nodes.
Okay, yeah.
Or that fear that...
If we take it out, it just...
It's not going... Yeah, it's already in...
Okay.
My understanding now, the way he explained it to me, the lymph nodes is like...
They're all over you.
They're all over you. Mm. And it's like one follows another. Like it's like...
I can't just take
it's like
it
a
out.
Light switch. You can't just take it out, you know. So it had... progressed to her chest area, you know. So then we were on the road again. So then she was put on, she couldn't get any more radium then because...
Yeah, it's quite dangerous.
At that stage. So she had the hardcore chemo, as she used to say herself. So this is where she lost her hair then. She didn't lose her hair or anything the first time, you know. But this time...
So she was on the hardcore.
Yeah, the
chemo.
Hardcore chemo
so
on that.
Her hair.
And
how was she as a person then? Was that like really, really hard then for her.
It was and it wasn't. We went across in University Hospital, and if anyone knows the crack with this, you go across the road, and she was a stroke stone woman as well that does the wigs. So we went across and we got measured up and that, and she picked out the wig and that, you know. And but I think she took it in her, that part, like, you know,
she didn't take too much notice.
No, okay, no, well, yeah. No, and she hated the wig. Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
She hated it.
Did she?
She hated it. I remember, I'm not going, but Yvonne, a great friend, and she was getting married. And we're at the wedding, and she had the wig on, you know. And we're at a round table like this, you know. And it was warm, it was roasting. And she said, oh, I have to get it. I just take it off. If you want to take it off, take it off. So, and she whipped it off there, and sure, no one passed a bit of heat, you know. Whipped it off, and you know, and like,
you always hear that.
Yeah.
That is apparently it's roasting like.
Yeah. And she couldn't hack it, you know. And she and her main concern about it was Evan. And she,
of course.
So when she came into the house, when she had got it first, you know, and she had the hair. And she said to Evan, she said, look what Mammy can do. And she ripped it off and he didn't pass one bit of heat because she was afraid that he'd get afraid and that, you know. Yeah,
and he didn't take a blind bit of notice.
Mammy was Mammy and that was it. Yeah.
Hair or
yeah.
No hair.
Hair or no hair, yeah. Yeah.
So I suppose she went on to the chemo then, and that rattled, you know, it's tough going, isn't it, when it's that hardcore chemo, as you say.
Yeah. So.
And where did she go from there?
So from chemo and that, a couple of weeks, and then she went on back on, she went through that. No, she was sick with it. She was sick. She never missed a morning getting up with Evan in all her time being sick. She never did not get up for him. Every morning she was up, she got the tools ready and out the doors, and she'd wave us off. Now she might go back to bed after it or that, but she never missed a morning.
It's amazing, isn't it? What moms can do for their children.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Do you know,
I mean, if he wasn't there, would she get up? You just don't know, you know?
Yeah, well, you know? This is it. Yeah, this is it.
And I know, like, you know, it's so important to chat and for especially men to come on and talk.
Yeah.
They're not the best, well, but like they're much better now, I must
say. If anyone knew me, or if you know me, not in a million years would I do this.
But what I'd love to know then is if you're willing, like, during that time, like, how was it for you? Like, you know, day to day, and you were standing by looking, were you worrying?
Oh,
were you?
Every day, like that. That pit in my stomach never went away. Worry. That waiting for the next phone call, you know, and she'd ring me and she'd say, we have more news and we're in bother again, like, you know, and that is just that pit, you know, that pit in your stomach.
I do, yeah. I do.
You know, and like I had that for 2 years, like. We talked. If I could give any advice today, is talk. We always spoke. Yeah, we'd often sit down there and never be gone to bed. We'd sit on the couch and we'd talk and we'd cry.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Do you know?
That's good.
And it still, to this day, it carries me, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know?
So I suppose back to then her treatment, she went through that and she'd been quite sick, but just kept soldiering on.
Yeah.
What happened then?
So she was on Vast and then we'll say, to keep, when she went through all the treatment, and she was on that every 3 weeks. So that was, and then we're like, Tracy being Tracy was always researching. And then she was in contact with Vicky Phelan, and I'll tell you how we got that. We went up with an aunt and uncle of mine up to the north to a healer. And I do say Vicky Phelan was the healer that day, but we were coming home from the healer that day, and Tracy had messaged her, Vicky, and on the way down from the healer that day, Vicky contacted Tracy, you know, about the Pembro drug, you know, that Vicky was on at the time, you know.
I suppose it's important to note here that Tracy wasn't one of the women that was involved in the scandal.
No, she wasn't,
So she got her diagnosis straight away.
Yeah, she got her,
But yet they had the same cancer.
The same cancer, yeah. So they became great friends. Vicky and Tracy became, you know, she was a lady, met her several times.
So I know they had to advocate for that, yeah, for that drug, because it wasn't funded in Ireland.
No, see, it wasn't funded. Now, it was funded for the women
in the scandal.
In the scandal, yeah. But the likes of Tracy and Áine Morgan at the time,
it wasn't.
It wasn't. So they
and
were.
And it cost, is it 8,500?
8,500 for dosage, yeah.
And they would need it how often?
They would need it every 3 weeks. Yeah.
Isn't it just awful?
Awful, yeah.
So she knew that that drug potentially would help her.
Would help her, yeah.
But she couldn't have access to it unless you had 8,500 every 2 weeks.
Yes, yes, yes. The overcome price of this was 150,000 at the time.
So what happened then?
So anyway, they were in contact. We went on the Joe Finnegan show. She went to the Dáil. They done all that, and eventually they got it. After a big long battle, it went on for I think nearly a year.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know?
So she fought to get the drug.
Fought to get the drug.
And this whole year that she was fighting for it, she couldn't have it.
No. Well, she could. She could.
If she paid for it.
If she paid for it. Yeah.
But yeah. That means you can't really.
I know. And we did that. Like our community had a fundraiser and all that for, you know, at the time, and we did. And
but I mean, a woman, regardless of if he got the money together or not, the point is she was the same as the others, but yet she wasn't entitled.
Entitled to it, yes.
Which is
this
horrendous.
Is the thing, yeah. Yeah, and this was
horrendous.
The fight. Yeah, yeah, do you know.
So eventually they got access to the drug.
They got access to the drug, yeah. But unfortunately it didn't work for Tracy, you know.
Mm.
It didn't. It didn't. She had one go of it. And she had terrible reactions to it and that, you know.
Mm.
But,
yeah, so then, you know, all the while when she was doing this advocating, which is just so, like, impressive when you think of it. Like,
yeah.
You know, but she obviously was like a woman with morals and she knew it was wrong. And
oh,
she
yeah.
She was fighting
she did,
for
yeah.
her
for,
and for everyone.
For everyone else, yeah, exactly, yeah, 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 do you know.
And for moms.
Yes, exactly.
You
like.
Know?
Her ultimate goal was to stay alive for Evan, mm-hmm. you know, to rear Evan,
yeah.
you know. So, up to the point where she went into hospital for the, we'll say the last time, she was relatively good.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah.
She was good. So, we're at home one evening, she got an unbelievable pain. So, she was on the couch with her water bottle. So she was, you know, holding out and eventually we got an ambulance, you know.
Mm.
So she was brought in to hospital at that stage. And we were, she was brought in that night into hospital. I followed her up, done more scans and that. And this went on for a couple of days, you know. They couldn't find what was causing the pain, you know.
Mm.
So this went on for a while. So then to up and down for scans, they couldn't find anything, and eventually they found another tumour in her bowel, and then she had to have keyhole surgery that time then to bypass the tumour. So in that time she had the keyhole surgery, that all went well. She was weak now at this stage. They were coming with plans, we're going back on chemo again for this new tumour. So this was going on for 5 weeks. So she was in hospital from the day she went in to, for over 5 weeks. Her breathing started getting affected then, and she was getting weaker and weaker. So then they decided to put her into ICU for a few days, you know. Mm. They were kind of talking about kind of putting her into an induced coma that she'd get, but that never happened. No, she just deteriorated then, but still I was oblivious to it, you know.
Were you?
I thought this was, you know, she's going to be sound. She'll come out. Because they did say this is only for a few days to get her back.
Mm-hmm.
Back. So that was grand anyway. So then the consultants start coming in. Actually, the nurse was the first. The nurse says to me, now I'll go back. We kind of kept Evan sheltered from the hospital. Now, every morning when she was in hospital, she'd FaceTime him. Every morning without fail.
And he was what age this
he
time?
He was two. He'd be three at this stage.
Three, yeah.
So every morning she'd FaceTime, have the word with him before he'd go to creche, you know. And we kind of, we never brought him to the hospital tour, you know.
Too little, yeah.
Too little, you know.
I get that.
So then the Wednesday, the nurse said it to me and she says, bring him up. Bring him up. And I kind of knew then, I says, right. Something hit me then, this isn't good, like.
Was Tracy conscious at this
stage? Oh, she was, yeah. She was fully functional. Now she was hard breathing.
Was she aware that they had said, bring him up?
Yeah.
And did that frighten her?
Yeah. Tracy kind of knew what. Yeah. Do you know? So I took him up. And it was the best thing that ever happened. Best thing. And I'd love to meet that nurse that told me to do it. I haven't met her since. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
She, just to thank her. And I can still, I have pictures of them, two of them in the bed, and he lying in her arms. And she's smelling him. Yeah. And she says, I'm okay now. Yeah. And that was tough. The next day then, the consultant came in and he stood over at the head of the bed, one of his seat, and he says, there's nothing more we can do. And she just, like, the strength she had was unbelievable. She just sat there and took it, you know. I said to Tracy, what do you want to do? She says, I want to go home. And I said, we'll make it happen.
As you tune into today's meaningful conversation, we at Counselling Online are so delighted to support and sponsor Grief Ireland. Grief is a complex emotion and we all cope in our own ways. If you find yourself seeking a safe, confidential space to share and explore your feelings, Counselling Online is quietly here for you. Our motto is, wherever you are, we are. Should you feel like reaching out, we are only a click away. www.counsellingonline.ie. Take your time and be well.
I got on the phone or whatever we needed to do. We got it organised, the oxygen and stuff to bring her home.
The bed and all that.
Mm. And we had it all set up. And the next day, I stayed with her that night beside the bed. And the next day, the consultant came in and said he had a great night. And the antibiotic seems to be working or whatever treatment, you know. So she said to me, she said, look, we'll stay and we'll fight.
Okay.
Yeah. And I says, that's what you want? We'll stay and we'll fight, yeah.
Okay, she wasn't ready to
give up. No. So, yeah, that was on the Thursday. Do you know, she sat there and we talked. She told me stuff like what she wanted for Evan. We talked about us, how she felt about me, how, do you know. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to, I don't know where she got the strength, do you know. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to this and I'd go outside and I'd be on my knees.
Hmm.
On my knees. And she done it with everyone. She done it with all the family. She brought them in one by one. The strength she had, I do think of it to this day. If I'm having a bad day or if I'm feeling down, I go back to her telling me that how could she sit there knowing what was coming and have that strength to tell me all she told me. She had me set up for it, even though I didn't even know it.
God.
You know? Yeah. Even down to, I do say it and I do think back and I do say, she used to drag me in shopping even when she'd be at home, like, and she had me all prepared, like, even though in her own way.
To show you.
To show me.
So she obviously was in the hospital and had decided to carry on her fight there.
Yeah. So then that was, yeah. So this all went on Thursday and Friday morning and that. Like I said, I stayed with her in ICU on the Thursday night. I lay beside her, then Friday came and she was okay. Oh yeah, Friday came and the consultant was in and I met him in the corridor when he was coming out from her and he said she had a great night and I says, geez, that's mighty now. And this is all in my head, like.
It gets confusing then, doesn't it?
I says, geez, that's mighty now. I says, I'm going to go home to Evan today now. This was on Friday morning, like, and that was grand anyway. But as the day progressed, she started to deteriorate, you know. So that evening then, yeah, that evening Tracy passed.
God.
Yeah. And she was, do you know, she was talking that morning, everything. We had all these conversations. Like,
it just went so fast in the end.
So fast in the end, yeah. Yeah.
Were you there with her?
Yeah, we were all there. All there. And like that, I think, I know of my mother at the time as well, she waited for my uncle to come from Wexford before she passed. And like that, Tracy, she waited for her. She hadn't seen my brother, and Damien was in England at the, our friend Damien was in England at the time, and he was on his way home, and I think she waited for them to have the few words with them, because she had the few words with them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then they were all there.
And they were all there, and
she took her time.
She took her time then. Yeah. Yeah.
So then I suppose after that then is when the real darkness comes.
Oh, I remember coming out of ICU in the hall after all this happened, and I had to ring home. James, my brother, he was up earlier in the day, and he went home to Evan, and my sister Karen went home, and I had to go out in the hall and ring them to tell them. They couldn't believe it. And then they put Evan on the phone to me, and like, I didn't tell him at that stage. I just said, how are you, Manine? And I remember getting off the phone and I just fell on the ground. I was my poor Manine, like, you know, poor Manine. And Tracy's dad picked me up, you know.
Yeah.
And that was tough.
Just devastation.
Devastation, like that, just, you know, and like, it's just like a whirlwind then. So that was Friday. We went home. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to leave her. Yeah. I hadn't left her for, you know.
Oh, no.
And to think that she'd be there on her own. Like, and so I went home and Evan was in bed. I left him. And then that morning, Granny came down and I says, Granny, you need to be down with me, you know, to tell him, you know.
Yeah.
So we set him on the couch. So I hadn't a clue what to do. Now, myself and Tracy had, in the weeks before, we had talked to a psychologist.
Yeah.
Do you know how to deal with this? This is when she was down in the ward, you know. So we said we'd come back to it, you know.
Yeah.
Back to it. So anyway, in the few days when we knew things were bad coming up, I got on to the nurses. I says, I need to talk to someone just to see.
Yeah,
so I got into a room with this man and I says, what do I do? And he says, tell him the truth. He says, don't, just tell him the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I do the same. I tell him, I don't hide anything from him as such. Well, do you know?
Within reason.
Within reason, you know. But I do tell him the truth. So, yeah. So going back to the Saturday morning then, we went in and we set him down, myself and Granny. And he was in my arms. And I told him, Mammy has died. Do you know? And like, can you imagine now telling a 3-year-old, like, it's the hardest thing. And he cried and cried and cried in my arms. And he wailed. And as Granny says, he done his grieving that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, Tracy, in the days coming up, she said to me, like, this will show you the strength she had. Like, let him see me laid out. Don't expose him to the madness of the funeral, because she said it'll be mad, but have him there with you. And that's exactly what we did. He was there with me while the funeral was going on. He was with our good friend Niamh, and then when that was all over, he'd come home again, and we'd go in and we'd sit with Mammy and sit and talk to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important, isn't it?
Oh, very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
But she had great foresight, didn't she, to
oh,
know
unbelievable.
That.
She knew
what he needed.
Yeah. She put him up every day and explained the day to him, you know. But going back to the funeral, just when you are, where it's very important to tell kids, a neighbour of ours, going through, you know, as the people going through and they're sympathising with you. And he says to be true to your manine. And it was stuck in my head. I says, what did he mean by that, you know? That was on the Christmas. I met him on the street in Roscommon and I asked him, what did you mean? And I knew he lost his father when he was Evan's age. But he says, it was hidden from me. It was a different generation. Yeah. This man was in his 50s or that, you know. He says, I met a fella years later and he says, told me how my father died. Like,
Yeah. This different time, as you
different
say.
Different time, yeah. Different time, yeah.
So then how was all the funeral and all that? Was obviously madness for you.
Tracy had her, she had her couple of wishes. She wanted to be at home. She wanted to be buried as close as she could to be my father, my mother and father. Yeah. So we made all that happen. She wanted to be at home. So we live in the country, as you know, and the neighbours came and they were making out car parks and getting lights and doing all the roads and that, you know. And it goes very fast.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Do you know? I feel like...
You almost wanted a bit longer.
Yeah. Do you know? For me, just to have more... But sure, look at...
No, I know, but it's important. Yeah, it's true. I understand what you mean.
Yeah, see, you're caught up in the whole funeral that you don't... You feel like you don't get any time with her yourself, you know. It just seems... From that point, it just seems like a whirlwind. You're just... You're an emotional wreck and you're just... You just need time to process it, but you're not getting it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And then, obviously, the tough part really starts, as I said, after.
Oh, yeah.
So when that's all over and the dust settles and the door closes and everyone goes, that's in the real...
So for me, when it really hit home for me was, a couple of days after, I wanted to keep Evan in his routine. So I sent him back to creche. And I remember coming home myself to the kitchen. And I says, like, the silence. I like it. There's two ticking clocks in our kitchen. And I never heard them before until that day. And to this day, I will not leave the house without the radio on. When I come home in the evening now, when we come home in the evening, the radio is on.
Right.
The silence, the, you know.
Someone actually described that to me before in that they said the silence has actually had a sound.
Yeah.
It was so loud.
Yeah, for me, that was. Yeah. So then as time goes on, like, you get into a routine then, you know. And then the loneliness hits then. Do you know? Like the day-to-day stuff with me, I can cope, work, Evan, everything's keeping you busy, you're flying it. And then the nighttime hits. And that's for me is the hardest part, you know. Just sitting there. When Evan goes to bed, you know, you just sit there in silence, like. And then COVID hit. COVID hit, which was a blessing for me.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was the best thing they could have, for me anyway.
And why did you find
I was back working and I was going and going and going and, you know, and I was burnt out and I didn't even know I was burnt out, you know, until everything stopped again, like, with COVID. And I was at home with Evan. And I just says, what is it all about, like?
Yeah. And you probably just love that time with him on your own.
Oh, yeah. And I had that, you know, we had nearly the year in between and the rat race. I just says, stop. And I did. I changed. I only work 4 days a week now.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. I cut back. I have a day to myself, which I love, you know.
It's amazing.
Because as being a single dad, and I've great help, you still don't have a minute, like.
But you still, it's your kind of.
Well, you're mammy and daddy, like.
Yeah.
You know.
So I used to hear that from my sister when her husband died.
Yeah.
She used to always say to me, no one knows what I go through when I close that door at night.
Yeah. See, this is it. And even going back to when Tracy was sick at home, like, no, and I'm only saying this for people that's in the situation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People don't know what's going on in that house. Like, they don't know when you're up at night, when she's sweating, has to change 5 times a night, and all the things, the side effects that goes with the treatment. They think treatment is just
the hospital and that's
hospital
it.
And that's it. But it's more. It affects, you know.
And you probably, like, you've known the whole normality of your life is gone. It's all like, like that whole period of your life then was just all about the cancer. Like,
oh,
you
it's
just
all,
couldn't
yeah,
be a normal just, couple. And
no,
be
no,
yourselves.
No, no, you couldn't. You couldn't, because as it was always something, always an appointment, always what's next.
Yeah. I suppose you'd nearly resent that, like, it can't just be ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
Can't
no.
just, like, not give a shit.
Shit, yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah, that's gone, yeah.
And people don't realise that that's from day of diagnosis, and that's what I mean. It's like that night that we talk about when you come home, or that moment in the hospital when you get that diagnosis,
yeah.
life changes forever.
Ever, ever.
But people don't understand that yeah. really until no. they think, oh, now, you know, because she's died. But it's the whole way through.
True, yeah.
It's a long, yeah. long, long, horrible, I always call it the long goodbye.
Yeah. See, this is it. And going back to me dad after watching my mother
yeah.
go through the same thing.
Mm.
And like, I do say like, and even looking back on dad after mam dying, and I, he used to, even to the day he died, he used to burst out crying for her, you know.
Yeah.
And I do say, I used to look at him and again, I used to look at him and I used to say, pull yourself together, like. And, but I'm him now, do you know. But I didn't understand that.
But now you get what he was going through.
True, exactly.
And also in a way, like for Evan.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to, you know, you lost your mum, but then I suppose it's different because you were older.
Yeah,
you know?
I was older, yeah.
But still you have that, you yeah. know. You know.
So going back to Evan then,
mm.
he'll go in now and he'll run into the, down to the grave to her and he'll talk away to her. As this is his normal, you know.
Mm.
Do you know?
And he chats to her.
And he chats to her, do you know. And we include her, we talk about her every day. One thing she said to me is, keep my memory alive. And we do. And nowadays with Snapchat and videos, and Tracy's sister's mighty with Snapchat and taking videos and like... Do you know, they'll come back up every year on the reels.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
they're sending them on to you. And like, I do be showing Evan, like, with yeah. Evan. And like, do you know, he can hear her talking. And
I know. An awful lot of people, like, say they never, you know, back in 60s, 70s, whatever.
Yeah.
They don't even have a photo of some of them.
No. Yeah. This is it, you know.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
he has plenty of stuff there.
Yeah.
But, you know, how is life now for you and the many?
Well, sure.
You keep each other, you're like two peas in a pod.
Two peas in a pod, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a great bond, like.
Do you find it hard, like, even just doing the, you know, like the school and all those kind of things? Like, if you've obviously, he's not in school yet, is he?
Oh, he is, yeah.
Oh, is he?
He's in second class now.
Is he in second
class? Yeah, yeah.
He's
communion
wow.
this year now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, that's hard
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So you have to do the homework and all that stuff.
Ah, yeah, but Granny, no, to be
granny.
Fair for Granny, yeah.
and the aunties.
And yeah, yeah, Granny is mighty, like, and I have a great.
Good
and I have an aunt and uncle as well that takes them on a Monday to give Granny a break as well. And, you know, I have great support, you
You'd
know.
Be lost
yeah.
without
yeah.
them.
Yeah, lost without them, yeah.
But you really need
the day,
that.
Oh, you do, absolutely, yeah. yeah. But the day-to-day stuff, like getting them ready for school and washing clothes, and I'm so used to it now, do you know. At yeah. this stage, you know, she had me prepared and,
yeah.
you know, all yeah. set up like for her.
What a woman, like.
Yeah.
The loneliness, as you say, so many people talk to me about that as well. You
yeah.
know, it's, how do you find that now?
You get used to it. You, like, as I do say, you have to keep moving forward, like, do you know. Mm. That still for me is the hardest, yeah. It's even someone to watch telly with, someone to sit beside you, not even talk.
yeah,
yeah, do you know?
I know, company.
Yeah, company. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
I always I did a retreat there at the weekend, and I was telling people this story. I love telling the story how one day my sister was like, you know, I came home here last night. I had a fitness class in Clonfad, and she used to come to it.
Yeah,
and she went home after it anyway one night, and she was like. I come in here and she goes, not one person rang me. I come in the door at 7:30 and she goes, I could be dead myself. Like no one would know.
Yeah.
I'm on my own. She was having a right rant.
Rant,
you know?
Yeah.
So then I was feeling really bad going like, why didn't you tell me? Like like, you know, I finished the class. I was living in Galway. I drove back up to Galway. I said, I could have stayed with you. And she goes, harsh. She goes, sure, for fuck's sake. She goes, someone called yesterday. I hid in the wardrobe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. like there was days
you're
she'd
damned
like,
if you do and you're if you don't,
another day she'd be like fuck off I don't want to see anyone
I
it's
know.
So up and down isn't
down,
it
yeah it is yeah and I do say that to myself I could be dead here and no one would know
yeah
do you know they wouldn't come in and see
yeah
do you know because all that dies after and like after and you have and I do I, like I'm a realist like
mm-hmm.
you have to
move with it.
Move with it. And you have to understand, like, everyone has their own lives too, like.
Yeah.
Do you know? They can't be minding you too, like, you know. Yeah. Everyone has their own lives. And like, you have to understand that too. They have their own lives and own families and that, you know.
What do you find helps you? Like, do you, you know, I don't know, do you go for a pint or are you into sport?
No,
or?
I don't drink at all.
Do you know the amount of times on this podcast, I presume people, I'm like, go for a drink now. And they're like, I don't drink. And then I said to someone else, they're like, I don't drink. Like,
I was even saying it to Amanda coming up. I was saying it to Amanda, is this my path? Was this set up? Is this why I don't drink? Like,
probably.
Do you know? Because if I was a drinker, I'd say.
Yeah, it'd be a different story.
Yeah. And an aunt, and going back, an aunt of mine says to me at one of the masses there, she says, are you a bitter?
Mm.
Do you know, with all that has, do you know, mam, dad and Tracy. And I said, I'm not.
No,
I'm not a bitter person. Do you know, I'm not. I'm so, I had a great life. I had a great life with Tracy. We were so happy. I don't think we ever had a row. Like.
So you've no regrets there.
I've known. And I have absolutely no regrets. I done everything. We done everything we possibly could.
There's great peace in that, isn't there?
I get great peace from that.
Yeah.
I get the stuff not eating away at me, you know?
Yeah. I would. That was very fresh in my mind back in the early days.
Yeah.
Kind of forgotten about it a bit now. But, you know, for someone that has someone that's dying or that's sick.
Yeah.
It's just like, do everything.
Yeah.
Say everything. Be there.
Yeah.
Because you can't do anything other than be there. Really.
No,
and if you're there, you've no regrets.
Regrets, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I found that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, life for you now is very different.
Different, yeah.
Yeah. But you're obviously a big advocate for talking about it and saying how you feel and all that.
Well, if this helps someone and to know that they're not on their own, like... It'd be a job well done for me.
Yeah.
Because Tracy, what would Tracy do? And she'd be the first one here.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she could help someone being the nurse and all.
She'd
be there.
Well, she lives on really, doesn't she, through you?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. And I see her through Evan every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how they have the mannerisms and everything, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Really, he's like her.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now they say he's like me as well. There's a great mixture, but I can see her. And even when he's lying down to sleep, he sleeps the same as her. He, you know,
he is her.
Yeah, he is her. You know.
Well, listen. You know, I think you're a powerful man. You're fantastic. You're great. You are. You know, you could have just the way you're saying that there towards the end. Like, I mean, you could be bitter.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
But that's, you chose not to be.
No.
And I think that, you know, the life that you're going to lead going forward, and you're so open and honest. And unfortunately enough, a lot of people don't feel brave enough still, men and women, that feel like, oh, I don't want to be talking about grief and I shouldn't be talking. But like, it's, why not?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a normal part of life. Like.
It is. And like, and I will be honest, like sometimes if you listen to too much of it,
It
can bring you down.
Yeah.
You step away from it then. And I've done it. I've been there. I've listened to it and I stepped away from it. It was bringing me down. But still, you need to, like, as I just say, to cry. I do get great relief from a cry.
I'd love to hear you saying that.
Yeah. Like, even last night now, before I came up, I read a bit that Tracy had and I cried. And And even going along the road, even to work, some mornings I go into work now and my eyes would be, even though they wouldn't have a clue, like, but I'd have been bawling on my way in where I'd have heard a song or Evan had said something or something that would make you click, do you know?
And can you imagine if you didn't let that out, how you would feel inside?
Oh, yeah.
You'd be ready to explode, wouldn't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So it's, I think it's mighty to cry.
Yeah.
A good cry is it just that relief.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and don't be holding.
Sometimes when I need a good cry.
Yeah.
Because you go through phases where you can't cry.
Cry, yeah. This is it, yeah.
I'd watch, like, this is so bloody ridiculous, but I'd put on, like, do you ever watch those, like, you know when they surprise people, homecoming videos? And then I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, I feel so much better after a good cry. I had to put them on, the saddest thing in the world. So I'm just like, let it out. Well, listen, it's been such an honor to talk to you. It really has. I love to hear about the person as well.
Yeah.
And I have such a picture of her, like, like a woman, get on with it. And like, you know, she just really left so much of her actually behind. Yeah. Is what I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't feel like.
Yeah, she'd so much. She was taken way too soon. She had so much to give. Do you know? She had so much to give.
Yeah.
She was taken.
Way too soon.
Way too soon, yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. And
thanks for having us.
Best of luck to you and Evan going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Aidan was just so real and unapologetically himself. I honestly feel he has put words to how many people are feeling right now. And in doing so, he removes so much stigma that still surrounds grief and loss. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and please don't forget to hit the follow button. It helps us a lot here if you do that, and rate on the channel, or most importantly, tell a friend, and I will talk to you next time. Thank you.